This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. We'll talk, Colombia's president is all on board with more illegal immigration. I know you don't care about Colombia, but we'll talk about the illegal immigration talk here in just a moment as it pertains to the churches around the world and whatnot. We're going to talk about an illegal immigrant family that was deported, and that's a wonderful story. We're going to get to some emails. We are going to discuss what Bernie Sanders said. I'm going to try to get to Joe Biden on The View this hour. If not, I will get to it that next hour. And tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, so get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So just want to remind you of this. The only reason I'm going to read this story is because it goes along the lines of what we've said before, what we will say over and over and over and over again. Communists are religious, not ideological, not political, religious. They view all other religions as competing religions. And let's pause on this for a moment, because let's discuss religion and history and societies and how it works. There have been and remain all kinds of different religious belief systems around the globe, always. And a lot of them are very, very understanding and accepting of other religious beliefs. For instance, as crazy as this sounds, the Mongols were actually famous for this. Can you believe that? The Mongols famous for their tolerance. I realized when they weren't slaughtering millions of people, that kind of falls on deaf ears when you're trying to sell that. But the Mongols were totally okay with whatever you believed, and they didn't at all feel like it messed up what they believed. They had this belief system that's very much, you see this with a lot of tribal peoples, very much, you know, sun and land and water and wind and all this other stuff. But you wanted to be a Christian? Yeah, cool. Oh, yeah, no, put your church up. That Jesus? Sounds fine. Sounds good to me. You wanted to be a Muslim? They'd put mosques up right next to the church. Oh, Allah? Yeah, cool with them too. Go ahead. Don't care. Sounds good to me. So there are religions that are accepting of others, and then there are religions that are not. And I'm not actually telling you that religions that reject all others are bad, but you had better understand when you're dealing with one of those. I'll tell you that much. When the communists took over the Soviet Union was an Orthodox Christian, that was its religious base. I've read stories that it would make you weep of what they did to the pastors there, torturing them. One pastor, if I remember right, they carved a smile in his face like the Joker from ear to ear, carved a smile in his face, paraded him through the town, and then buried him alive. When his communists took over China, obviously Buddhism is one of the many different kinds of religions over there, but one of the main ones, they couldn't wait to torture and murder the monks, tear down the temples. Spanish Civil War, you already know, raping the nuns, killing the priests. Communism is a religion, and it is not a religion that shares space with any other. It considers any and every other religion a threat to it, and it will declare war and try to destroy whatever other religion is in place when communism takes over. Communists are religious zealots, and they are communists first, always. You know, I played that pastor, this nutball pastor last hour.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in...
It's not a pastor. That's a communist. That's an infiltrator who found a way to put on the robes But when she sees herself in the rearview mirror of her Subaru, she sees herself as a communist, not as a pastor. Jamil Hill, this race activist, went on CNN, said this.
It's bathrooms today. It's sports today. It's sports tomorrow. It's the military today.
No, and it's also sports today, by the way.
Yeah, it is sports today.
And 80% of Americans agree, by the way.
Oh, that's fine. And 80%, guess what? The majority sometimes is wrong. That also happens, right? Because the majority used to believe that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was somebody who was a threat, that somebody who was not a good American. The majority of people used to be against civil rights. Were they right? No, they weren't.
Communist first. State Senator from Colorado.
This is what I believe. You ever seen that movie, Talladega Nights? And you see that section where they're talking around the dinner table and they're talking about what their favorite version of Jesus is. All right, baby Jesus. I love baby Jesus. And the guy goes, well, I love Lynyrd Skynyrd Jesus when angels are behind him and the choir is singing and he's playing.
Yeah, you got the idea. They're communists first. Colombia's president says the new pope should back humiliated migrants in the U.S. I don't know what the new pope's going to do or say, and I don't much care. It's not my business. It's not my pope. I don't care. But I know what Colombia's president would like him to do. Remember that he's a communist first and a pope second. Communists do not share a religion. And remember this before we get to some emails. You don't get a say and whether or not you're at war with these people. And I'm sorry about that, but that's not how war works. That's not how fighting works. When one side declares it, then you're at war, and there's no stopping it. These people have declared war on whatever your belief system is, on your way of life, on your belief system, and they will never stop until they win or until they're defeated. You only have two choices. There's only two. You can fight them, or surrender to them. And choosing not to fight is surrendering, because they are fighting and they will win. You don't get to be a pacifist in this little war and set down your weapon and cross your fingers and say, you know what? I don't want to fight. I'm tired of the fighting. Can't we get along? No, we cannot. We can fight and we can win. Jesse, after talking to my parents, they're both 90. You know, pause for a second before I even go on for this. That's really cool to have parents who are still alive at 90 years old. And if I sound jealous, it's because I am. I'm insanely jealous. I miss my dad, and I'm not bad jealous. Don't get me wrong. Good. Good for you. I'm glad you still have your parents. I think that's freaking cool. Jesse, after talking to my parents, both of them 90, they were regretting voting for Trump, saying he was a communist and turning into a dictator. I asked my dad how so. And he believed Trump deported a white citizen to El Salvador because he heard it on TV. I tried to tell them that the mainstream media is all lies and nobody gets their news from them anymore. I hate arguing with them and love them both, but it kills me they don't want to listen to me. Please help. Well, you want help with something that I very likely cannot help with. And so let me explain this, because what you just described is, according to polls, consistent across the board. The demographic that despises Trump the most or has turned on him the most are, well, the older you are, the more likely it is you have turned on him. I don't like him. I don't like it. I don't like what he did here. I don't like what I did there. Well, it's not because older people are dumb at all. So don't say that. I hate generational stereotypes. Ah, these young people are dumb and lazy. Old people, boomers are dumb. I hate that. Don't do that. But what it is after a certain amount of time, you get set in your ways and it becomes almost impossible to move you off of that. Look, radio. I've used this example before. Radio. They always are trying to tell you what the ratings are and whatnot, and I don't pay any attention to any of that. It frustrates poor Jewish producer Chris to no end because he loves that stuff. So I really just give it all to him. And, well, I mean, in this city with this, the demographic, but here's what I do know about it. You know who they really, really, really want listening to the radio? Really want listening to the radio. People who are younger. It's not that they don't value older people at all. But they're always bringing that up. Oh, well, people under 55 love the show. And whenever they get me actually caring, I always ask, well, why do I care? I don't care. I'm just doing the show. What does that matter? You know why it matters? Because the show is a for-profit enterprise, as you know. That's why we have ads. It's not a charity. And so the radio company wants to make money. They make money by people purchasing the products from the advertisers who advertise on the show. Why do they want people younger? Because you're still forming your buying habits now. Once you get past a certain age, we know this from endless amounts of market research, your buying habits are really set in stone. It really doesn't matter where you go from there financially or anything else. The kind of car you like, the kind of car you like, the kind of food you like, the kind of food you like. That's the way it is. When you're older, once you get past a certain point, you're used to listening to the news. If you're 90, you could turn on ABC when you were younger and reasonably trust what you heard. I'm sorry about your frustration with your parents, but that's probably where the problem lies. Now, let's do something to make us feel good before we talk about these illegals getting deported, which you'll feel good too. Let's talk about Tunnel to Towers, about caring for widows and orphans. It really does matter. You know, I've always hated it, but I acknowledge it's true that I forget about the heroes we read about every day when a firefighter dies. I read a name, I think about it, maybe we even bring it up on the show, but then I forget, I don't remember that name. There's a new scandal, there's a new story, there's my life. You know who remembers? His wife, who's at home still, alone. The kids. Who helps these people? Tunnel to Towers is the one who takes care of widows and orphans, paying off their mortgages. They get homeless veterans off the street, building these special smart homes for veterans who lost their arms and legs in combat. And all they've ever asked is $11 a month. You sign up to give it automatically, you never know it's gone. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday, a fantastic Thursday, and we're deporting entire families, and I love it. But the fact that it's a story makes it, that's a little disheartening when you dwell on it. But here's the story. The headline is from the New York Post. Georgia college student, I love how they frame it, faces deportation after running a red light. Police discover her entire family has been living illegally in the U.S. for years. Years these people have been living in the United States of America. The lady runs a red light, has no driver's license at all, and maybe the best part of it is no habla inglés. No English. Because of her non-citizen status, Arias Cristobal, what was her name, was paying out-of-state tuition for a school despite living in the area. The officer who pulled her over attempted to speak to the teen's mom and the owner of the car, but neither of them spoke English. Living in the United States of America as a family for years, and nobody seems to care enough to learn the language, is exactly why we need mass deportations as fast as possible. And this, the headline makes it sound better than it was. And I say better, I was about to say worse, is this is how it's supposed to work. You understand that this is not left or right wing, or shouldn't be, I should say, that this should not be any issue at all. When you enter a country illegally, when you live in a country illegally, that's a crime. You shouldn't ever feel safe. And yet, for some reason, the country has been so manipulated through years and years of propaganda, we somehow feel like we have some special obligation to the nice ones. Well, he's not MS-13. She didn't deserve that. You should never feel safe and secure when you are in a place you are not allowed to be. If I walk into the bank and I see somebody left the door of the manager's office unlocked and it says official personnel only. And I go walk through the door of the manager's office and I sit down at his desk. At no point in time should I feel safe and secure and relaxed and totally chill because I am someplace I'm not allowed to be. And upon coming into contact with me and discovering I'm not allowed to be there, I should be removed immediately. That is the basics of immigration. But stories like this has been headline news all day. That we deported an entire family, including some, quote, college student. She's from Mexico. She went back to Mexico with her family, where her family should have been all along. This is how deportation is supposed to work in the United States of America. Of course, don't ask Joe Biden or his best buddy, James Lankford.
But do you take any responsibility for not hearing the concerns of voters on the border security or cost of living sooner? And do you take any responsibility for Trump's reelection?
Yes, I do, because, look, I was in charge and he won. So, you know, I take responsibility, number one. But number two, you know, you remember we put together a commission leading with one of the most conservative members of the United States Senate from Oklahoma running it.
The Democrat Party has a commitment to bringing in as many foreigners as possible. They just did it. And like I said, there's a cabal of 10 to 15 GOP senators who are stopping us from stopping them. And this really is our big mission right now. And that's a long, tough battle. Even if we can take out John Cornyn in a primary next year, and we may, poll numbers look good right now, even if we can, we still have another 10 to go. And it's hard to take out a senator in a primary. But that is the battle we have to fight. Honestly, that battle will probably last until the day I retire. That's how long that battle will last. That's how long it takes to root these people out from the GOP. But that is why we are where we are. That's who's keeping the door open for communism to flood into this country. Enough of that for now. Before we do emails, we have to laugh about Trump and his subtle little jab at Rear Admiral Pete.
And when they took over, Buttigieg, who has no clue, you know, he drives to work on his bicycle with his, in all fairness, with his husband on the back, which is a nice, loving relationship. But he didn't have a clue. This guy didn't have a clue. And he's actually a contender for president.
He tried so hard to sound kind of half nice and half presidential about the thing, but he tried too hard and it ended up coming off more insulting than even he wanted it to be. And so, I mean, well, yeah, he rides to work on a bike with his husband on the back
and,
of it.
When they took over Buttigieg, who has no clue, you know, he drives to work on his bicycle with his, in all fairness, with his husband on the back, which is a nice, loving relationship.
He doesn't even have a bike seat. No, he didn't put that on there. What, Chris? It's fine. Let's do some emails next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, I still am just kind of a little bit floored at how evil Jill Biden is. Just so evil and heartless. And maybe you're new listening to the show, so let me recap what I used to talk about when Joe Biden was president. I understand why Democrats would want to prop Joe Biden up and pretend like he's a functional adult and okay. I really do get it. I don't support it. It's evil, but I get it. The media, for instance, they're trying to push through the communist revolution, just like the Democrat Party is. So I can hate them for it, but I understand the American media kind of ignoring the whole stuttering Joe thing, because if they exposed that, it would have hurt the communist revolution. So I get that. If you're an elected Democrat, if you're Nancy Pelosi, if you're Chuck Schumer, whoever, I get not talking about it. Makes you sound disloyal if you talk about it. Potentially it hurts your party and upcoming elections if you talk about it. So politically, hey, let's just pretend like it doesn't happen. professionally even. If you're Jen Psaki, his press secretary, maybe you're one of his campaign people, chief of staff Ron Klain. You see, you know, but I get you keeping it quiet. It's your boss. More importantly, probably, it's your employer. That's how you get a paycheck. That's okay. So, hey, let's just kind of get, I get all that. But Jill Biden is his wife. His wife. Now, I certainly would never pretend to be husband of the year, anything like that. But could you imagine watching your spouse publicly humiliate themselves all the time? What, Chris? What? Chris said, what if it's a political marriage? What if she never cared? Look, I don't even know that I want to go there, but I can't say that you're wrong. Maybe that's it. If Ob got dementia or something like that, and Ob was always losing her train of thought, she just couldn't have conversations with people, found herself, anyway, whatever. Look, again, I'm not claiming to be spouse of the year, husband of the year. I'm about the worst one who ever lived, but we wouldn't go out in public anymore. We just wouldn't. I would keep her away from that because I wouldn't want people laughing at her. I wouldn't want her looking bad in front of other people. You know, I would want to protect her from that. Let's get her someplace relaxed and get her some care and try to make sure she's taken care of. That's what a normal person would be. Jill Biden not only covered for Joe Biden for 4 years. Let's be super nice to Jill Biden. And let's say after he's elected, you don't want him to have to resign because that's a bridge too far. Let's give her that excuse for 4 years and say, hey, he's already elected. Let's just get him through it. But after 4 years of embarrassing himself, Jill Biden, we now know this from sources, she was one of the main drivers trying to get him to run again. She was the main one fighting the hardest to keep him from dropping out. We know that now from all the sources. Just think about that for a moment. Your husband is not embarrassing himself at Applebee's because he can't order the cheese sticks. He's the president of the United States of America, and the entire planet makes fun of him. Wasn't it, I think it was Saudi Arabia, right, Chris, that put out their Saturday Night Live. They had a skit mocking him. Oh, Italy did it too. Yeah, I was about to say Italy too. Multiple other countries around the globe. You don't have to pull them up, Chris. Multiple countries around the planet openly mocked our president because he has dementia and he can't talk and he can't think anymore. Jill Biden watched what very few spouses historically have ever had to watch. She watched as her husband was mocked by the entire world. And she wanted more of it. And then, after he gets shoved out of the race anyway, finally, he's done with politics and the political life. And Jill Biden, because she has a new political gig in D.C., dresses poor Joe up in a suit and drags him on a media tour and then sits there while this happens?
Allegations are these sources wrong?
They are wrong. There's nothing to sustain that. Number one. Number two, you know, think of what we're left with. We're left with a circumstance where we had an insurrection mm-hmm. when I started. Not since the Civil War. We had a circumstance where we were in a position that the pandemic, because of the incompetence of the last outfit, right. End up over a million people dying. And we're also in a situation where we found ourselves unable to deal with a lot of just basic issues, and which I won't go into in the interest of time. And so we went to work, and we got it done. And, you know, one of the things that
Alyssa, you know, one of the things I think is that the people who wrote those books.
He made it a very rough minute, losing his train of thought 10 times. And finally, his wife has to step in on a national show. And this is all completely optional. It's not as if he needs to do any of these things to complete his duties as president, or even doing any fundraising duties as a Democrat holding a fundraiser somewhere. This is all a PR tour for his wife, who has a new gig in Washington, D.C. Jill Biden must not even have a soul anymore. Unless it's like Chris said. And maybe you're right, Chris. I don't know. We're going to move on and get to some emails. But maybe it was, I don't know their history or their relationship, but maybe it's always just been about power in politics. Maybe that's just it. Maybe that's what they are. It's about power. It's about politics. And as long as they're still together, it's going to be about power and it's about politics. I don't know. But that's a really, really terrible thing. That's a really terrible thing. Anyway, here was Joe, too.
Why do you think the vice president lost, and were you surprised?
I wasn't surprised, not because I didn't think the vice president was the most qualified person to be president. She is. She's qualified to be president of the United States of America. Right. But I was surprised. I wasn't surprised because they went the route of the sexist route, the whole route. I mean, this is a woman. She's this. She's that. I've never seen quite as successful and a consistent campaign undercutting the notion that a woman couldn't lead the country and a woman of mixed race.
Democrats are going to have a very hard time winning national elections. Keep telling the whole country they're a bunch of racist sexists. Keep scolding everybody. Keep lecturing everybody. Keep talking down to everybody. We'll see where that gets you. Anyway, let's get to some emails before we get to making fun of Bernie Sanders and Fatima Goss Graves and tearing down statues. Let's first tear down the pain in your life. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's get rid of the pain in your life. The daily pain that holds you back. What is it that you used to do physically that now you either don't do or you dread? Working construction? Maybe even sitting at a desk? Back, foot, neck? Standing all day? You don't have to live with pain. You don't. You can take care of it. Not by masking it. No more drugs. Relief Factor is drug-free, 100% drug-free, developed by doctors, but drug-free. It is a supplement. Your body is already trying to fight the source of that pain, the inflammation. Your body needs help. That's what we lose as we get older, the ability to get rid of it completely. Relief Factor is here to get rid of it completely, not mask it, get rid of it. The longer you take it, the better it works. You might be 3 weeks away from being pain-free. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right, emails. Thanks.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. And that song, of course, reminds me that The Who, great American band, doing their final North America tour. So if you want to hear American Woman and other Who classics, make sure you go out and get your tickets shortly. Jesse, thanks for talking about frozen pizzas the other night. You brought up Totino's Party Pizza, which was a staple of my college nutrition. I'm now 52 and I haven't had one in 30 years. But after you spoke of them, I gave it a try once again. They're as good as I remember. And when my wife went to the store the other day, I asked her to get me a few. She gave me a look, but bought them, and I couldn't be happier, though I know they're bad for me. So thanks, I guess. I'm going to give you a little Totino's tidbit from White Trash Jesse. Okay. One, still the best value for the money in the frozen pizza world, especially when you find it, you get it like Costco or someplace like that. Chris, they sell them in like 5 or 10 packs. Can't believe the deal you can get on these things. That's one. Two, you want a little tidbit? You don't have to make them in the oven. That is the superior way to make them. I want to make sure I'm crystal clear about that. The superior way to make a Totino's pizza is in the oven. You get the crust crisped up and everything else. But let's say maybe you're in a hurry. Maybe you don't have an oven. Maybe you're out on an oil rig, or maybe you're in a college dorm room, or whatever it may be. Maybe you're road tripping. Here's what you do. You get a Totino's pizza. Open up the wrapper. I didn't say take it out of the wrapper. Open up one end of the wrapper. Microwave it. I don't want to give you a time for how long to microwave it, but microwave it. Maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, that won't work. The crust will get soft or soggy. That's part of where we're going. Stay with me. When it's done, you roll it up. Then it becomes a Mexican-Italian hybrid. It becomes a pizza burrito, and you can leave it halfway in the wrapper. If you're road tripping, you only need one hand. Drive down the road, Kamala down your Totino's. Life is good. What, Chris? What? How many times have I been to the burn unit? It's funny you brought that up, Chris, because the very first time I did this, I want everyone to learn from my mistakes. I want you to learn from me. You get your wisdom from the pain that I've gone through by being an idiot. The very first time I did this, I was road tripping and I was in a hurry and I nuked it, which was brilliant at the time, but I left out one very, very key part of it, and that was leaving half of it in the wrapper, because there's all that molten hot lava cheese and grease that's on the inside. And it, gravity doing what it's going to do, it's going to want to come out the back end. And I was wearing shorts. I was in the Marines at the time. I nuke it. It's piping hot. No big deal. I take it to the car. I roll it, start driving, grab it with one hand. I'm still in the parking lot. By the grace of God, I was still in the gas station parking lot, although the car was moving. I take one bite, and I didn't even see it because I was driving. I was looking both ways. It seriously felt like somebody had dropped a miniature nuclear bomb on the inside of my right thigh. I can still point to where it was. Oh, my goodness. And I'm glad you weren't there to hear the sounds I made. And part of it was, what if that had been a few inches higher? I don't know. I don't know. We might not have James and Luke today. Do you hear Kash Patel, what he said?
Well, you asked if I was weaponizing the FBI, and I am not. I'm giving you the hard, concrete examples of the men and women putting handcuffs on bad people, doing harm to our children and innocent Americans. I do not see weaponization.
You have placed on leave FBI employees responsible for the investigation of January 6th. That sounds political to me.
I have not placed anyone on leave who has not violated their ethical obligation or their oath.
Just want to recap this again. I'll let him start again, but I want to recap again. The guy was complaining about why my parents have soured on Trump. He deported a white Maryland man. Why are my parents? If you are older, the chances are higher that you will believe the news, because you used to be able to kind of believe the news. It wasn't as evil as it is now. So if for 60 years you've tuned into NBC to catch the news of the day, well, now you get outright lies. You get Democrat talking points, but that's what you got used to. That's what you do. This is why they tell the lies they tell. I'll play it again. Listen to the lie. Credit to Kash Patel. He doesn't let her get away with it. Listen to just the blatant lie she tells. And people ask, how do they try? Why do they even try it? How do they get away with this? They get away with it because of people who only watch the news.
Well, you asked if I was weaponizing the FBI, and I am not. I'm giving you the hard, concrete examples of the men and women putting handcuffs on bad people, doing harm to our children and innocent Americans. I do not see weaponization.
You have placed on leave FBI employees responsible for the investigation of January 6th. That sounds political to me.
I have not placed anyone on leave who has...
Now, that's... I'll let him keep going, but that's a United States senator, and that's an outright lie. It's a black and white lie, not kind of gray, an outright lie. Why? because your parents will see it on the news.
Has not violated their ethical obligation or their oath to the Constitution.
So if they were investigating January 6th, you believe they were violating an ethic obligation?
Nope. I think the common theme here is you putting words in my mouth, and I'm not going to tolerate it, nor will the men and women of the FBI.
Well, you did place on leave an analyst responsible for investigating Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. Is that politicization? Is that retribution?
No, not if she broke the law or the ethical guidelines. I don't know which case you're talking about, but that's the standard. And we will hold ourselves inwardly accountable. And we will not be strayed from our mission because people think we are politicizing the Bureau. If you want to talk about someone who was attacked by a weaponized Bureau, you're looking at him. And now he's the director of the FBI and he's cleaning it up.
A world of make-believe. Your liberal Aunt Peggy lives in a world of make-believe that is constructed for her by Democrat politicians, media people, and professors. A world of make-believe.
As you and the president continue to weaponize and investigate his perceived enemies, as you follow this blueprint, when can I, a former impeachment manager, expect the FBI at my door?
Ma'am, you want to know who was targeted by a weaponized FBI? Me. You want to know how and why?
Well,
you want to know what I'm doing to fix it?
Let me move on.
Well, you should read the book because there's no enemies list on that book. There are people that violated their constitutional obligations and their duties to the American people.
That's good.
And they were rightly called out. And you should give that book to every one of your constituents so they can read about it.
I won't be doing that.
That's their loss.
Cash probably took his chalk this morning. That's what I'm guessing. Don't shake your head, Chris. That I know a man who's on a male vitality stack when I see one. I like it. I like knowing that there are other dudes out there doing something about their energy and their focus and their mood, not shrinking away, not shriveling up. Ladies, you too. We need energy. We got a long fight ahead of us. If nothing else, maybe you have to go to one of your kids' brutal choir concerts or band concerts. You need the energy to stay awake. I stayed awake courtesy of a male vitality stack from Chalk, which I take every single day, having me feel good and full of pep. Natural herbal supplements are the way forward. Not needles in your arm, not special clinics, natural. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.